Welcome, everybody, to the Robots Radio Summer Fest Fun Party Hangout Get Together thing that we're doing. I don't actually have an official title for this, but hey, I'm Tomer Robots. I'm the guy that runs the network. I also do a number of different shows, but we're going to welcome in all of our hosts that are joining us this week. These are mainline Robots Radio Network hosts with their own shows, their own IPs, their own lore casts, and other types of shows. And we are getting together to celebrate the summer. This is something we need to be doing more of, and something that you'll probably see happen every few months or so now. And it's going to be fun. We're playing two truths and a lie about the things that we know about, and then other people are going to have to pick those things about the things that they don't know anything about, and we're going to just see how crazy it is. But welcome, joining me today, we have Ben of Temeria, Lotus of Doom, Sergio, John from the 40K Lorecast, and Genesis. Welcome, everybody. Here, we're going to go through, introduce yourself, and let people know where they might know you from other shows on the network. Let's start with Ben.
Yeah, so I am Brandon, or also known as Ben of Temeria. You can find me, I have plethora of shows, so that is Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast.
So many shows. So Ben had to prepare a bunch of questions about a bunch of shows. So as we go through this, other hosts, pay attention to what IPs there are, because you might want to pick out one of the ones you know the least about, and this will be interesting. Lotus, welcome.
Hi, Tom. I'm Lotus of Doom. You and I actually host the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, as well as I have a very narrow focus because my other show is also about the Elder Scrolls as well, and it's called Tales of Tamriel, and it's presented by the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages, which is the Wikipedia most of you probably know best.
Yes, it's a great wiki. We reference it all the time. Also, Lotus, I guess this means that I can't pick yours.
I mean, you could, but I feel like that's cheating.
Darn it. Okay. All right. Well, I won't be picking that. Sergio, D&D Lorecast. Welcome. How's it going?
Absolutely cheating, Tom. I feel like I need an suffix. Like there's Ben of Temeria, Lotus of Doom. Uh-huh. Sergio. Like, oh, okay.
Sergio of Dungeons.
Sergio of the Forgotten Realms. I'm the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast host. Took over from Tom back in like September of 2021, I think.
It's been a while.
Going on 4 years.
Yeah.
Lots of lore. Still so much. I tell the folks, I'm like, hey, if you have something you want to hear us talk about, let us know. Because like we are not at, you know, we have 50 years that we can cover, so we're not really hurting for lore. So we might not get to whatever you want us to talk about.
I mean, we feel like that in Elder Scrolls. I'm sure most of us feel like, oh, we're talking about these huge gigantic IPs and there's just like endless amounts of things to talk about.
Absolutely.
But welcome back. And then we have John from the 40K Lorecast, our newest show. Welcome, John. Yep.
Hey guys, I'm John. I host the 40K Lorecast with my co-host Brad Jester. The whole show is based around Warhammer 40K and the lore around it. And we actually just launched our second show, which is called The History of 40K, which is actually focusing on the history of the competitive version of playing on the tabletop. So, you know, game actually has a physical element. Yay! So we talk about that too.
Yeah, plastic figures fighting each other on a big, cool looking map with dice.
Rolling dice is fun.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, it's kind of something I think the two of us here spend a lot of time rolling dice.
Yeah, once you joined the network, I actually fell into a hole of watching competitive videos of people playing.
It's a wild game. Yeah, we actually have a YouTube channel as well where I've streamed some games I've played in. Yeah, we're playing around with some ideas now.
Awesome. And then Jen's rounding out. Jen, you've got a few different shows.
I do. I have three shows. The Two Girls, One Ship podcast that focuses on video game romances. The Mass Effect Lorecast, all about Mass Effect. And the Cyberpunk Lorecast, which covers everything cyberpunk, the tabletop, the TV series, and the video game.
That's right. And you took my place in the Mass Effect Lorecast and in Cyberpunk. Like, these are two other shows that I used to do that have passed on and are now thriving with you guys. So that's
The Witcher.
Awesome. And The Witcher. Yeah. And Brett Ben with The Witcher. I have kind of a trail of shows that I started and I was like, here you go. Here's a show. You can have it. I'm going to go do other things. And then that's part of why I ended up starting the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, was because I was able to you know, hand off something in order to take on a new project. And I still do Elder Scrolls Lorecast with Lotus, and I also do the Fallout Lorecast. So if you guys want to pick one of those, you're welcome to pick one of those. I think it's fun that Jen's here with a bunch of dudes, and she does a romance show, because I feel like that would be a good one for some questions. But here, let's kick this off. Ben of Temeria, or Brandon, I always just call you Ben because that's how I know you first. What IP among this mix do you know the least about?
Oh, God, that's going to be 40K.
40K.
I absolutely know nothing. I have friends who know so much lore.
Yeah.
And it just goes well over my head. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but cool. I know what Tyranids are. That's about it.
All right.
No, I mean, that's a step. I mean, it's like, believe me, you and my wife, who has to deal with the, like, so what is it you're doing all the time and now as a podcast that everyone listens to? Yeah, just deal with it, honey. So it's kind of like, I love you to death. Thanks for putting up with us. But yeah, I think so. You should meet two truths and a lie on 40K.
Yeah, two truths and a lie. Two facts and something totally made up. And Ben, you've got to figure out which one's made up.
All right. So 40K was originally a role playing game. Event Horizon is a 40K movie. And there's actually a setting in 40K that copies from Tolkien.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Oh, Ben, what do you think? What do you think? Can you repeat those one more time for us, so everybody at home? Oh, and if you're listening, obviously, if you're using a podcast, so you're listening. If you're listening at home or at work or in the car or whatever, and you want to play along with us and see if you can beat us at guessing these correctly, please do, because that's part of the fun. Yeah. So go ahead and repeat those one more time.
40K was originally a role-playing game. Event Horizon is a 40K movie, and 40K has a setting that's a direct copy from Tolkien.
What do you think, Ben? You can talk this out loud if you want to kind of reason it out a little bit.
I'm definitely leaning towards the Event Horizon, because knowing Games Workshop... No, I have not, so I have no idea.
To back you up, Ben, I actually really like that movie. If that's somehow 40K related, that's going to like blow my mind.
That was another one of those movies I probably saw too young, because it was very disturbing.
Knowing Games Workshop definitely started as a role-playing game. That has to be a truth. And then knowing them, they are definitely ripping off Tolkien.
It's actually not. It's the Event Horizon's a true one. The Tolkien, they ripped off Tolkien in fantasy.
Not even ballpark.
Wow. Like it was. But yeah, Event Horizon is, it's not official, obviously, but it is a dead rip of Warhammer 40K. So it's,
really?
So the whole thing where they're going through, like they fold a piece of paper in half and go through.
Right.
The
rift,
warp travel
going
is
through
in
the
40K.
Warp.
So
yeah.
It is, we reference it a lot as being like one of the best examples where people are like, well, how do I understand, like, you know, what is, because it's not really hell, but it's kind of hell in with the warp. I love, just watch that movie, and it is like, even I know GW employees will tell you, oh yeah, it's a, like, we didn't get upset about it, but yeah, 100% a 40K movie.
Perfect. See, now I feel like I know a bunch about 40K. No.
Yeah, it's a really, because those are actually what make it, that's the stuff I love more, is when someone else kind of rips it off a little bit, just enough to not get sued, and you're like, see, there you go.
Right, because the whole folding space, the whole going through the warp thing is like engaging with the dark gods and all of that
craziness.
Yeah,
the idea is that there's two universes, and you can kind of take a shortcut to the other side of yours by going through a terrible one, and if you don't have what we call Geller fields, which keep the demons out, they get in, and like that, it's funny because the whole scene where the guy's like holding his eyeballs and doing that thing in Event Horizon, if you guys haven't seen the movie, by the way, great film, totally watch
really
it
good.
That's, you can see references to that in books that predated that movie coming out.
Oh,
in
it's so good.
40K. It's just, this is what it is. Like I said,
that's so cool.
I had never heard that before, that the connection between the two. And I actually just watched Event Horizon for the first time somewhat recently in the past couple of years. So when you when you said that, I was immediately like, that's a lie. Wait a minute. Let me think about it. Actually, that could be true.
It's because people don't reference it because they think of Warhammer 40K as being like this like combat game, which it is. It is at its core, it's combat. But the lore has really evolved massively over the years. And this was a lot of the stuff. These guys were they were good writers. There was a lot of stuff that was stolen. But like I always tease people, when someone steals from Tolkien, it's like, so the best fantasy ever written in history, you stole an idea from. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Right, right. That's like we're founding a new nation. Sources. We're going to pull from the Constitution for our laws. Exactly. You know, like, well, I mean, okay, probably a good
candidly,
idea.
I mean, D&D Lorecast. Yeah, people steal from D&D. Why? Because it got popular for a reason. I mean, like, I still have I can walk out of this room and go grab a D&D books that are in the other room, like from 1989. Like, I still have those in my house.
Yeah. And D&D stole from Tolkien as well. So, yeah. I mean, it's all...
Ideas. One very creative person was like, I have an idea. And everyone went, I'm not that creative. So I'm just going to steal. I'm going to take.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's move on. Lotus, it is your turn. What don't you know much about?
So since we did 40K to start with, which is going to be my first one, the next one I actually want to do, because there's a couple games in the series that I've liked, but I feel like I'm largely devoid of anything. Any type of knowledge going on. I'm going to go with Ben because I'm curious about Final Fantasy.
Ooh, Final Fantasy. Okay, now I need to put my giant list I have. let's see.
Final Fantasy. Man, there's so much you can draw from because there's just so many games.
That's just it. And I've played some of them, like the old ones with the sprites. But like, I really can't even... Other than I really liked 6 and 9, I don't really have a lot of
Do you remember a character named Sid?
There's a lot, I think.
Yeah, there are a lot of Sids.
Yes.
Right, Ben, are you ready?
Here, we'll go with this one. Final Fantasy was created by Hironobu Sakaguchi. He initially intended it to be his last game before leaving the industry if it failed. The first game was released in 1987... on the NES, and Final Fantasy was always meant to have a sequel.
All right, so read those again while Lotus is thinking this through.
So Final Fantasy was created by Hironobu Sakaguchi, and it was meant to be his last game. The first game was released in 1987 on the NES, and then Final Fantasy was always meant to have a sequel.
I like how the first and third one contradict each other, just so that...
I also like how the last one contradicts the name of the game.
Well, and that's why I was like, I feel like it's got to have been... I think it's the third one, because even though I could not guarantee the director, I think that was supposed to be the thing to it, is it was like supposed to be the dude's swan song if it failed. I'm pretty sure I've heard that. So I'm going to say it's 3. It wasn't meant to have a sequel.
Correct, because so Final Fantasy was literally Square's. It wasn't Square Enix at the time. It was just Square. And it was their last game because the company was about to go bankrupt. Like, it was pushing this game out.
They made a bunch of crappy games.
Like, we're going to have it called Final Fantasy because it's probably going to be our last game forever. They release it. It blew up. And
it was like second right, cool. after now like Dragon Quest, series
that
right?
saved the entire company.
Gotcha.
Which then also led into having Dragon Quest and all the other RPGs.
The Morrowind of Final Fantasy. Got it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very cool. Very cool.
Cool.
All right. Now you know more about Final Fantasy.
I do.
Yeah. You went back to old stuff too. That's fun.
That was what was screwing me.
There's so much to pull from this.
Well, at first I'm like, if you're doing something with like, it's not the director's name. I was like, I've heard that name before, but watch if you're just like, oh no, that was the composer or something like that.
Right.
Like, yeah, great. Like, cool.
Somehow related.
Yeah.
But not the director. I mean,
exactly. That'd be a little clever, that'd be a little turn up
question.
That's the stuff. Okay. When we do this stuff like this in our patron, like quiz games or whatever, that's the stuff.
That's
everyone
exactly
always,
what Tom pulls
everyone
on
always, everyone says, oh, you're going to do that. And I never do. And they still blame me because I'm clever, but they don't figure out how I'm clever. So they have to tell me I'm clever in a dumb way. Yeah, that's that too. All right, Sergio. Sergio, what don't you know much about? Which of
I know,
these?
I know all. I know everything. So unfortunately, this is going to be no fun. I want to see what Genesis has for us in terms of Mass Effect.
Ooh.
Because right. Mass Effect is a series of games that I've started. I've played maybe 3 hours into the first one, despite everyone telling me, knowing who I am and knowing what I like, you know, being the host of a Dungeons and Dragons lorecast, like, you would love these games. You would love these games because not only do the decisions you make in the game affect the outcome, the decisions you make in the game affect the next game. And so
yeah.
I was like, sounds awesome. Sounds incredible. Let me play 3 hours of it and never play it again. Never pick it up again. So,
Jen, that means that he got to the Citadel and he noped out. That's what that means.
Well, yeah. Unless one of the characters is the main character's name. Well, that's one of the questions, rather, is one of the main character's name. I probably am not going to. I'm not going to know it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I definitely understand that. There's a point in the first game where if you can't make it off of the Citadel, you pretty much never pick the game back up. But once you get beyond that point, mm-hmm. that's when everything really sets into motion.
Yeah, I don't know if it was even that. I think it was just like I got way too much stuff going on and, you know, adulting.
Yeah, interestingly.
Never become an adult. If you're listening to this and you're a teenager or a child, never become an adult.
Don't become an adult.
Yeah, always stay a child. Always stay a teenager.
Yeah, Sam on the show, who Sam and I used to do the show together, I remember there was some statistic he pulled up one time that was like the player fall off of Mass Effect 1 is exactly this far into the game, which coincides with the point where you get into the Citadel, everything opens up and you have lots of dialogue and it's no longer fighting and adventure. It's just lots of conversation. So that's why the joke, which is similar to about 3 hours into the game. So anyway, go ahead with your questions, Jen.
Yeah, let's hear them.
All right. In some scenarios, you can meet Shepard's mom. There are only 3 DLC exclusive companions, and we only interact with 1 Prothean.
Do you need any clarity on any of those terms or names?
No, I'm just gonna freestyle this one. We can meet Shepard's mom. There are only 3 DLC companions, and we only interact with 1 Prothean. I'm gonna say the third one is the lie. I think this is like Battlestar Galactica, where like everyone's a Prothean, you don't even realize it. Is that right? I don't know. Okay. I have no idea.
I actually think it's the second one. Are there 3 DLC companions? Why do I feel like there aren't that many?
I know it, and I don't know if I should say it.
go ahead and chime in. We're discussing the question.
The second one, because
John, what do you think?
I'm actually more annoyed because I played this game so much, and I'm like, I shouldn't know all this. And immediately went, I don't know any of this. Oh, God.
You have no panic. Excuse.
Like, that ego game. Check was a solid punch to the gut. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no. I actually have all of the achievements in all 3 of these games.
So yeah, wow. I don't know these. 100% I'm like, wow, in 3. Yeah, I'm 1, guessing, 2, and 3. That's why this is bothering me. I thought I remember Shepard's mom. Like, I couldn't remember that being it could be one of those weird things, like the Shazam thing, where I'm convinced that what's his name played Shazam.
Shaquille O'Neal.
He never did.
He was a genie named Kazam.
But I was convinced he did. It's the DLC is the one that I'm just kind of sticking on, because I'm like, I could have sworn the fans liked them because they didn't DLC a bunch of crap on you, and that's why I think that there's not that much DLC.
I remember 2 had the guy out the gate during the period of time where everything was like, how do we make people buy games new? So we had those by the way, you get a code to prove you got the game new. And I remember what the guy looks like. I do not remember his name. Right. Using him in the party. I was like, oh, this character is pretty cool. But I didn't think there were more than that. Like,
yeah, there was a dude. And then he came back in 3. So yeah, I just don't think there's. That's what I
said. Yeah.
That's my guess. I think it's 2. Cause I don't think there's actually is that even that many.
It's but also anyway. It's also tricky because there's the remastered edition of all 3 games that came out a few years ago, and some people's experience of playing the games was either way after the DLC already dropped or the remastered edition. In which case, and this is my thing, is that like I noped out of 3 until the remastered edition came out, but now all the stuff that was DLC for 3 is just a big blob in my brain.
Yeah,
because my brain's like, oh, that's part of the main game. And it's like, no, it's not. That was a DLC. Yeah. So, okay, Jen, you want to reveal?
Okay, so Sergio was right. We interact with a couple different Protheans. Only one of them is actually like a real Prothean. The other ones are VIs or AIs throughout the game.
Sure, like holograms. Okay.
Holograms. So we do interact with more than one. And there's more than one in that cutscene where you're interacting, where you're seeing Javik's memory. Javik is a Prothean who we also is one of the three DLC exclusive companions.
Oh.
Kasumi and Zaid are the other ones for Mass Effect 2. They were DLCs only. And then the scenarios.
Zaid was the one I remembered. That's the thing. It's
that's the one.
I totally forgot Kasumi was actually DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, oh yeah, no, she's part of the game.
Justice for Kasumi.
And the scenario in which you can meet Shepard's mom, you only get to talk to her over the phone. You never see her. Her name is Hannah, and it has to be with what you picked in Mass Effect 1 as your origin story in order for her to show up in Mass Effect 3.
I thought that was the lie, because I never was like, oh, I don't remember. There's no way his mom's
there. I got that.
I always choose a war hero, so all my team I have is dead.
In the remaster, you could go to that webpage and adjust all your background. I think was it the remaster or was it the third? I can't remember.
Oh, that's cool. They did that with Dragon Age. You could
adjust your background. If you didn't want to play through all three of them, you could actually select all your choices, which was nice.
Yeah.
They actually discontinued that when Legendary Edition came out.
Yeah, that was early on. That was like a Dragon Age and then Mass Effect sequel thing, and then
It was a great idea, because the first Mass Effect, great game, but the landing and having to drive my cart around for a while to find stuff was not cool.
Yes, that part they improved in the remastered,
so. Still mad about that one.
Yeah. All right, Sergio got that one, congratulations. All right, John, what do you not know?
I'm actually going to go to Sergio only because I have not played D&D since third edition. And I love D&D. I've just been, time is a thing. So this will be fun for me, unless you ask actual original D&D questions, which I guess I might get them right.
Time is a thing. That's true. All right. Well, since you are a Grognier, a Grognard, we'll go with some older questions. So, or some older facts. Yes. Yeah. The first is the traditional high fantasy setting of Dragonlance and the gothic horror setting of Ravenloft share a creator. So you've got very traditional elves are good, dwarves are grumpy, goblins are bad. Yep. Very traditional Tolkien-esque setting. And then this very like dark, brooding, emo, vampire setting, actually created by the same person. The Dark Sun campaign setting is named as such because it is that of a world whose sun has gone dark and plunged everything into a freezing wasteland. And arguably the most well-known D&D campaign setting, the Forgotten Realms, actually precedes Dungeons & Dragons by several years.
Oof. All right. Do you want to repeat those? You can give them time to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the traditional high fantasy setting of Dragonlance and the gothic horror setting of Ravenloft share a creator. The Dark Sun campaign setting is named as such because it is that of a world whose sun has gone dark and plunged everything into a freezing wasteland. And arguably the most well-known D&D campaign setting, the Forgotten Realms, actually precedes Dungeons & Dragons by several years.
All right. So I was playing Dark Queen of Kryn 2 weeks ago. Nice. So I don't know, which I think predates some of you. So I have a DOS emulator on my computer so I can play these old games. I do believe it in Ravenloft share, just because I've played Ravenloft. I can see some similarities. I think Forgotten Realms does actually predate it. It's the Dark Sun one. I could have sworn that's actually a desert setting, not a frozen setting, but that's what I'm going with.
Final answer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Right.
You got it right.
Nice.
Yeah, Dark Sun is a desert setting.
Yeah.
Very much the aesthetics of Dune. It's almost kind of like Dune meets Mad Max.
Okay.
But yeah, Dragonlance and Ravenloft, co-created by Tracy Hickman. Mm-hmm. Ravenloft was created co-created with his wife, Laura, and Dragonlance was co-created with Margaret Weiss. And then, yeah, the Forgotten Realms is actually Ed Greenwood's personal campaign setting that he started making stories in like 1967. Jeez. So it's actually older than D&D, which came out in 1974.
Back when they were...
I love Dragonlance, and I hated Ravenloft, but whatever. Yeah. Like, I feel bad, like, I never met a guy at a party and being like, oh, yeah, I know it sucks, Ravenloft.
I also made that.
Yeah, that was that early stuff was back before they even realized that it would be more popular to create a role-playing game where you are one person rather than an army.
Right. No, I mean, that's kind of how it started. It's like it started from people who would play these war games. Yeah. And then it's like, well, what if we just like focus that to the single person? Everyone, instead of controlling an army or a nation, you just control a single person. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't even until other companies, in particular, like Judges Guild, got a hold of it and like, let's make our own campaign settings and our own adventures, that TSR, who originally created D&D, were like, oh, we should also do that.
And, right.
Let make money for ourselves as opposed to having other people make money for them using our stuff.
Yes. Nice. Well, congratulations, man. You guys are knocking these out. Jen, what do you not know very much about?
Ben, I'm coming for you.
All right.
Which one?
I know nothing about Gundam.
Most people don't. Being robots. About it.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Let's see here. All right. Let's go with... So, Gundam technology is based on real science. A full-size statue of a Gundam stands in Tokyo. The United States military uses Gundam as a code name.
Ooh. Interesting. That's kind of a weird mix of stuff. Okay.
I would say that's all over the map.
Yeah.
I like it, though. I'm going to say there's probably the statue. That one seems true.
That seems very likely.
Very Japanese.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
But does the military use Gundam as a code word? And is it based on real science? I'm going to go with the military code word.
As the lie?
As the lie.
That would be what I would pick too, because I feel like this is a thing that's like people are like, just because it doesn't work, it's probably founded in something that's real, but like it just, we don't have giant mech robots. Okay. I don't think.
See, yeah. I think the science one is.
Yeah, I feel like the science one is vague enough that it could be true or false, depending on how you frame it.
Yeah, because I don't think it's a very magical thing, right? It is very based in like mechanics and it could be.
Yeah, but like to say one thing like, oh, the engineering of a Gundam is based on like real tests they did with like the turning a robot into a jet that can fly or a drone. Like, okay, maybe. But this was like the 80s, so probably not. But maybe like really early versions of that. But then there's other stuff in the lore, and I'm not super versed on Gundam, about like being in space that may have other things that are just totally not science based.
But if that's the case, why no Gundam? Why no Gundam? Like, why are we living in a world with no Gundam?
Because drones are more efficient and you don't need them to transform or have a pilot. I mean,
people put a lot of thought into time travel, but also no time travel.
That's true.
I just feel like we're not there yet.
But if it's based on real science, then...
Well, you can base something. My thought is you can base something on it and still not actually have it work.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean...
That's sort of my thought.
Base a lot of things. Like, you know, based on a true story is a loose definition of a true story.
That's right. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on Ed Gein. Sure, okay.
Technically, Harry Potter is based on a true story because there was a kid who was an orphan and his doctor didn't like him very much.
And he went to school.
You know what I mean? Based on a true story.
You're right. But that was my theory to it. But now I'm like very curious.
Furiously writing down another back for Harry Potter for Wizarding
World. I know, right?
That
was a good one. That one comes up.
All right, Ben, what's the truth and what's the lie?
So, Jen, you are right. The U.S. military doesn't use the codename Gundam. The Japanese Defense Force does.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
And, Gundam technology is based on real science. I mean, if you haven't seen, it was back in 2020 up to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
There was an actual moving, legitimate, like full size Gundam that actually moved. Like they even showed it in, I can't remember which bay, one of the bays they have in Japan. They actually had a physical moving Gundam. Fun fact, Gundam also gets a Japanese Defense Force. Like earnings every year, they get 1% mm-hmm. of the government earnings to do technology research. So incredible. Fun fact for that.
Of course they do.
And yes, there is a full size Gundam statue in Tokyo. There's actual multiple Gundam statues. There are two in Japan and actually one in Shanghai.
Wow. All right. Good job, Jen.
Sunrise is pretty adamant of trying to get a Gundam in most like large countries. I wouldn't be surprised they would try here, but we would deface it, so probably not.
Americans would be like, what the crap is this?
We would ruin
yay
it.
Yay, America. Sure. Okay, I guess it's my turn. I'm going to go with Jen's romance question, because I'm very curious about what this is. It could span multiple IPs, and it is definitely not something that I seek out, like date anything, which I noticed you were playing the other day, because it said it on Discord, and I had pulled it up recently, and
man,
was just like,
brand, for sure.
My wife and
not
I were looking
lie.
Through,
that
like,
game's interesting.
Yeah, and my wife
like
and I...
Pounded by, like, 70-plus voice actors. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, no, it seems hilarious and kind of, you know, genius in a way. But yeah, my wife and I were thumbing through the, like, oh, what's on Game Pass lately? And I think it was one of the new ones on Game Pass. And they were like, what's this? Oh, okay. Anyway, what's your questions?
Okay, since you brought up date everything, I actually have my, my girls' questions are either BG3, date everything, or Dragon Age. So I'm going to give you the date everything.
That's the one I know the least amount about. So yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. 102 fully voiced dateable options if you buy the DLC. The door is not one of them, but the concept of existential dread is. Which one of those is the lie?
Okay, wait, so was that three things?
That was three things.
So, okay, so I think the word but kind of made it confusing.
Okay, so the but is the third one. Okay, so repeat them.
Yeah.
Got it. So yeah, repeat it from the beginning so everyone's got them.
There are 102 fully voiced dateable options if you're including the DLC. The door is not one of them. The concept of existential dread is...
Okay, so I don't think you're just going to change the number from like, you know, to like 104 or something like that.
It's actually, yeah, it's actually 101.
I don't think you're going to do that. So I think that one's probably
true. Why didn't you know that, Tom?
Unless it's like ridiculous and it's like, actually, there's 1,002.
Yeah, we cut a 1,002 as opposed to 102.
Yeah,
I could see it like that.
So I'm going to go with that one's true. I'm pretty sure existential dread is because I think I saw that in the trailer. Yeah.
There's no way that I'm sure you can date a door, right? Like that should be wrong because you date anything
right.
except the door.
Right. Come on. Yeah. So everything I know about this game
is a bridge, there's a bridge we get too far, and it was door.
And it was that
door is too far.
Well, maybe you date a door, but not a screen door? Like, is there are there
knob?
Are there restrictions on the door?
No,
like barred door.
The knob is totally off limits. That's the knob, crazy talk. Tom.
The knob is the sexiest of the dating companions.
A dev comes in, like, okay, I got an idea. How about a door? And we're like, get out, you pervert.
Stop it.
Hey, the
Stop
devs
it.
Are dateable in this game, too.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
you like know,
I'm assuming,
of course.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, all I know about this.
Finishing. Yeah.
All I know,
it's probably the first one.
Yeah. All I know is what's in the trailer. So, I don't know the number. I think Existential Dread, something dark like that was in the trailer. I only watched it one time. It's been a while. And then I know they were even like, and you can even date the kitchen sink. So the fact that maybe a door is dateable seems possible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that there is a dateable door. So two is the lie.
Okay, you are correct. Yes. The door, his name is Dorian, and he is voiced by Ben Starr and is absolutely amazing. He's my favorite.
Wow. The concept of inside on that name.
Jesus.
Oh, the entire game is all pun. It is completely and amazingly pun. Like the staircase, her name is Stella. You can date the floor, her name is Florence. The ceiling is nice. Named Celia. Wall's name is Wallace. The microwave is Luke Nukem, based off of like a Duke Nukem.
Amazing.
And because it's nuking from the microwave. Yeah. And it is 102 separate voice actors, and it is so much fun. And it's actually a really good dating sim from the fact that all of these characters have complete and individual personalities. They all have differences on what they desire in life. The concept of the game is that you get these pair of sunglasses that can then turn anything in your house into a person. So you're not actually like sitting there trying to figure out if you can kiss your microwave or not, but you see them as a person. It's just like Luke Nukem has a microwave door on his chest. His arm bands, instead of wearing gauntlets, he's got the button controls of what you would push on the microwave. The washer and dryer are a broken up couple, and you can help get them back together.
Jesus Christ. Like, I love that. I love that. That's amazing.
Oh, yes. Washford and Drysdale have a very complicated history.
Oh, wow. There it is.
Good.
Wow.
Drysdale is voiced by Neil Newbon, who is the voice of Astarion in BG3. The entire cast of Critical Role is on there. Brendan Lee Mulligan. Like, I seriously cannot wait to talk about this game on my show because they're all amazing people.
So here's a little fun fact about that game. It was helmed by a new studio that was developed by voice actors because the video game voice actor strike was going on.
Oh.
So they were like, hey, we need to do work. And what can we do? Oh, let's put together and like, boom, like over 100 voice actors like, hey, we're going to do something and say, screw the strike and at least get something out there. And that's cool. What they did, and it's freaking hysterical. I saw,
never even heard of this game until like
being in the gaming retail scene. I saw this was announced, and I saw the entire list of voice actors. Like, what the how the hell did they get everyone?
That's great. Good for them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Strike.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, very cool. Very cool. Good question, Jen.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
All right, so now that we've gone through everybody, let's go into the points don't matter. This is like, right. Whose line is it? Points don't matter.
But points
kind
of matter.
Points, okay, points matter to Lotus.
Points kind of matter. Points always matter to me as long as they're achievement points.
Right, you're achievement guy. All right, so let's pull up IPs that haven't been brought up. So Ben, I know there's at least one of your IPs that didn't get brought up, right? Harry Potter.
So Harry Potter, The Witcher.
Witcher.
And Star Wars. Histories.
Okay, and Star Wars. So pick just one of those from one that didn't come up, and then we're all going to try to see if we can figure it out.
All right, let's go with, let's just do Star Wars, because it's, Star Wars is great.
I don't know that I'm familiar with Star Wars.
Why are the stars?
Is the question of Phantom Menace? Because that's where I just really that's where I go hard in the paint.
All right, so yeah, so what are your Star Wars questions?
So let's go with. Let's do this one. So the original Star Wars trilogy uses hand-painted special effects for certain scenes. R2-D2's beeps come from the sounds of a baby. C-3PO's original color was blue.
Oh, man.
Two.
baby sound? I don't think they're baby sound. I think those were all synth sounds. But what was the first one again?
The original Star Wars trilogy uses hand-painted special effects for certain scenes.
I think there are hand-painted backgrounds in some of the scenes, if that counts.
And, like, all the makeup effects all have to be hand-painted.
Right.
Well, I know the original Death Star, I know the reason that the video looks as good as it does is because it was actually, I've seen them actually. That's what made it hold up so well is it was shot on film of actual physical things. You didn't get any degradation. So that one I know is
there.
The
X-Wings, the trench, all of that stuff was physical.
And I'm 80%, I've seen a picture of a blue C-3PO.
I feel like C-3PO went through a few different revisions, if I recall. And one of them very well could have been blue. What do you guys
blue
think?
Blue 3PO.
You think blue PO is a thing?
Bloopio? All right. Because you phrased it like that, now I think it's a thing.
Portmanteaus are my jam. My bread and butter.
Three, three's the lie.
I think two's the lie. You think two's the lie? You think two's the lie? John, what do you think?
We all think
two's the lie. You're all wrong.
No, man.
C-3PO's original color was originally silver and then changed to gold, I believe.
That's what it was. Okay.
R2-D2 beeps are from a sounds of a baby. They are just synthetically pitched up.
Oh, they're tweaked. So they sound synthy because they were tweaked. Okay.
Yeah, they were tweaked in post.
Freaky.
From a cry of a baby. Yeah.
Do they credit the baby?
Is he in the credits to earn royalties? The richest baby on earth.
Let's be honest.
I mean, if they
George
did,
Lucas
it could have been
not going to be paying out that baby.
Honestly,
let's call
it
a spade a spade
been,
here, right?
Yeah, for all we know, it could probably was George Lucas's daughter.
Yeah,
could have been.
I mean, she probably got paid in the end.
She
got like a very weird back end royalty.
Yeah. All right.
Now I want to see the credits. I just wanted to say like baby, like next to the
just baby. C-3PO.
R2-D2 Kenny Baker slash baby.
R2-D2 baby.
Well, you probably can't because it'd be like R2-D2 child labor. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It was the 70s.
Redacted.
It was fun. All right. Cool. Good one, Ben. Lotus, you didn't get to do an Elder Scrolls one. Do you want to do one?
Sure. That's fine. I can do some weird Elder Scrolls stuff. All right. Let's see. All right. We will go with The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind was the first Elder Scrolls game directed by the famous director Todd Howard. He did not start the series. Elder Scrolls Online is not the only game in the series to have a multiplayer component. And we will say The Slowed, which are a gross slug race of necromancers, their homeland is called Thras.
All right, I'm going to be quiet on this one. I can't answer this one.
Because, you probably know this one.
I can't answer this. I'm going to try not to give anything away. So
I kind of want Tom to correct you. We're like, the one who says a lie, Tom. Actually,
when it comes to the old games, when it comes
that
to these,
was
like,
a rewrite, and so technically,
they changed that.
Lotus is the expert
throw me
when it comes
off.
To old stuff. Like,
wait, you
old,
said,
old
okay, was the, said Todd Howard directed?
Yes, Todd, so... The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind was the first game in the Elder Scrolls series directed by Todd Howard.
Okay, not a part of. Okay, because I know he's a part of Redguard.
Yeah, I want to say that was true.
I want to say it's true, but number two is ESO, I know, obviously is MMO, but I don't know. No other
I feel
Elder
like
Scrolls had.
There might be some kind of
there's
mobile game.
Weird.
That's
yeah.
There's it's, always
what, if
something.
It's like whatever... I can't remember the freaking mobile ones you have. There was Redguard and whatever the key one was. I can't remember.
Oh, the old phone games.
You're talking about Shadow Key.
You're talking
just
before.
To save you the trouble of the
before
name.
Before smartphones. Yes.
Like a game available only on the old Sidekick phones.
Yeah. The game Shadow Key he's referring to is only on the N-Gage.
The N-Gage.
It's on my shelf back there with an N-Gage.
And if
it's
you're not over 35, you don't know what that is. Right,
I am over 35, and I don't know what an
he still doesn't know what that is.
I missed something.
Yeah. I'm one probably of like 17 people to own one.
Okay, this is like a Neo Geo for like it's more my age. It's like
very
like,
much.
Oh, I had a Neo Geo. Why?
Very much.
Okay, I mean, Killer Instinct was awesome, but that was kind of it.
Bonk wasn't Bonk on that? Was that Neo
Geo? Oh, and Bonk. Yeah, so you had Bonk.
Yep.
Killer
Put
Instinct.
Put some respect. on Bonk's name, please.
I will say Bonk is a lot of fun.
Bonk was amazing. That was the thing. That console was carried by like two or three games were incredible, and the rest of them were like...
Yeah, it died in the U.S., but it was still popular in Japan. Mm-hmm. Strangely,
I mean, Japan's Japan. Like, it's like
true. They have full-size mech, you know, Gundams in two different locations. They do. They play by different rules.
Yes. Well, to be fair, like, you know, if you look at like PlayStation sales, they're really high in the U.S. because they had Madden Football that didn't sell as well in Japan. Right. You know, but it's all the games do these weird things. They're like, yeah, it's real popular here. You guys have this? Like,
yeah, no? Okay. Yeah. Here, PlayStation gets 1% of the military funding.
Oh, it's also that, yeah.
That was a joke. All right. Okay, so what do you think?
Callback joke.
I think it's the first one. I think Todd was more involved in before Morrowind. Okay. Think about you guys.
Okay, everybody vote. What do you all think?
I think it's two.
Two, one.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I have no idea. I played Skyrim for like 12 hours and went, yeah, I'm out. And
you pretty much got all the series in lore here.
Well, I played it and then I didn't play it. And then everyone's like, why are you playing it?
Oh,
like,
God, so like, no, never pause and try to go
back. Behind the rest of you? Yeah.
Yeah, no, never pause and go back. It's hopeless.
I'm out. Yeah. Ooh, Witcher came out.
Yeah.
All right, Lotus.
So, Todd Howard, Ben, you were almost there. And yeah, Todd Howard actually had his directorial debut in Redguard.
What, really?
Oh, yeah, that was his first director.
I don't think he directed it.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. And he's actually proud of it. He's very proud of that game, even though he didn't do very well. Okay,
what other Elder Scrolls had multiplayer aspects?
So, not including the new ones.
Are you talking about this?
So, there's...
Super mobile game, I bet you.
Battle Spire has an 8-player deathmatch and capture the flag. It runs like total trash.
This is like 98?
Yeah. Shadow Key, if you link two N-gauges together, you can
physically
play
co-op. You son of a...
I'm Googling an N-gauge, by the way, while you're doing
you
this.
You link two of the 17 N-gauges that were sold together.
Including me and TES benefactor trying to coordinate this to make it run at one of the ESO events, and it is just, you need cords for it's just a nightmare factory. And then the Thras is the homeworld of the Slodes. But you were almost there, and I was gonna say we had one correct answer. Well, you knew that too, right, Tom?
Yeah, those are good ones though, because they're weird.
They're weird. I tried to go as weird as possible with, you know,
real weird with it.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Not to derail us, but I'm looking up an N-Gage right now, and they're claiming they sold 3 million of them. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, there's no way they sold that. Manufactured, yes.
Yeah, that sounds sold. Right. No, certainly not. It also... Well,
they count whenever the company that... Was it Nokia?
Yes, correct. Yeah. It's a Nokia N-Gage, and now Microsoft owns
sold
them.
Like
so.
The parts for scrap.
Yeah, well, I feel like there's... 2,990,000 of these, like the what's it, the ET
in the
game
desert
for Atari style,
buried in the desert.
Right,
they sold them into the retail locations of Walmart.
I looked it up too, and I was like, I have never seen. I have a Nokia. I had never seen this.
Yeah, it was a real thing. It was a real thing.
It was, and like I said, I know Microsoft. I mean, other than owning Bethesda, they kind of like bought the whole Nokia thing a while back, and it made trying to stream it real problematic because they're like, well, there should be no way you can play this without literally running an HDMI cable out of this thing that's not HDMI compatible. It's like, no, it's totally streamable. It's great. Please don't demonetize my channel for showing what this game looks like.
<It's> weird. So weird. All right, so we did D&D. You only have D&D stuff. We have D&D. 40k. You only have 40k stuff. Jen has other stuff we haven't done. So Jen, do you want to pick one of the ones that didn't come up?
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I got Cyberpunk.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go old school and talk about Johnny Silverhand. Johnny's original raid on Arasaka Tower and the second bombing were 10 years apart. In the TTRPG, Johnny is actually classified as a solo. And in life, Johnny owned a Porsche 911.
So solo is a character class,
like warrior or mage. As opposed to a rocker boy.
So I just looked.
That's what.
396 hours into this game. So again, when I get this wrong, I'm gonna be mad.
Yeah, these are based in the lore from the tabletop.
That's like, I'm pulling this up. How far? Oh God, I put a lot of time into this. Yeah. I don't think he had a Porsche. I actually don't think it was a Porsche 911. But knowing, I'm probably wrong. They probably made a bunch of money getting him to have a Porsche 911 in the game and sponsorship. But I'm still going with it.
So he has a Porsche 911.
Mm-hmm. What are the
He's
specifics?
Solo.
What are the specifics around the way you phrased the first one? Read the first one again.
Johnny's original raid on Arasaka Tower and the second bombing were 10 years apart. So he raided Arasaka Tower twice, right. Once to save Alt, and the second time to throw a mini nuke at it.
Yeah.
Right. That were 10 years apart.
I feel like that's right. It's been a long time since I've thought about this, but I feel like that's accurate.
Am I the only person here that has not played Cyberpunk?
Maybe.
Here's something else to consider.
I want to say that he has the trappings of a solo, but his character class is still that of a rocker boy.
Yeah. Here's something else is the way that the game, 2077, the video game, portrays the events that happened before the game are through Johnny's perspective. So they are false memories. They're actually not accurate to the truth.
No, that's cool. I didn't know that.
So when he thinks that he's the hero of the situation in the flashback, that's not how everyone else remembers it. Like things like, so that's, you can't even,
I want to
like, that's
say
what's so insidious about this question. These questions is you can't even take his perspective from the video game
Making
as actually accurate. all right.
I think it's either less or more than the 10. I don't think it's a 10-year gap.
I feel like there is a gap. That's the part I remember.
There is a gap, but I don't think it's 10 years.
I think it is 10 years. I think it's a decade.
It might be. I feel like that's accurate. I feel like the solo thing is probably accurate also because a lot of that stuff changed over time, and he was one of the early characters and then didn't get much. If I remember correctly from the tabletop, he shows up and then they kind of leave him for a while and then come back and talk about him again later and things that kind of shifted later. But I could be misremembering that as well. Oh, this is a good one, Jen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yay.
What do we all think? Arasaka Tower. Two. Which one was
I'm
two?
I'm leaning towards one.
Solo.
Two was the solo one. What was three again?
Porsche.
Three is the 911.
Porsche. Yeah. I'm going to go with three, although that one doesn't feel right either.
Lotus. I'm going to say three just because I remember, just since I have no basis in the game, I just feel like I would have seen a lot more commercials talking about Porsche. So that's really the only I saw so much branding for that game. And I'm like, I really don't.
I'm sure it's a car brand. My thought is it's not a Porsche. That's really all I'm at.
I'm just like, I feel like I would remember being like, all right, if I see another Porsche advertisement about Cyberpunk, I'm going to lose it. And I don't get that feeling. So I'm going to go with that.
My thought process is actually more, if you're going to target the video game market, don't target them with something that starts at $160,000.
Yeah. Aim low because they just spent all their money on your electronic crap.
Yeah. It just feels like, I mean, 3070 processors were expensive. Yeah. That's what I had.
How about a VW Golf, game, everybody?
So, you know.
How about a 1994 Ford Fiesta?
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
Brought to you by a used car dealer, like CarMax. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yep.
Nailed it. Nailed your group.
Nothing says badass rock star / terrorist like a Fiesta.
All right. So the lie is that Johnny is actually a rocker boy in the TTRPG.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
I have a lot of experience with the tabletop role playing game as well.
Nice.
That helps.
But I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I made it pretty tricky because I was like, in the game, he portrays himself as a solo, like he's out there, he's doing all that. But in the TTRPG, he is a rocker boy. His raid on Arasaka Tower and the bombing were 10 years apart, 2013 and 2023. And then it is a Porsche 911, and it is the only car in the game that actually has a real world name like that. And they think that there wasn't a lot of promotion of Get Johnny's Porsche because of the poor launch of the game. Porsche didn't really want to continue.
Okay, I was about to say, man, if I was Porsche, I'd be like, yo, give me my money back because you didn't advertise this worth anything.
Yeah.
Instead, in the long run, oh man, this buggy game.
Right.
Please don't attach our name to this.
Yeah, actually, you know what? You can just let it slide. It's fine.
See, my thing is, it's a huge loss by like Jaguar, you know, where it's like, hey, have it sponsored by a car that doesn't work. Perfect.
Nice. But then several years later, at the 2.0 patch, we actually got a second Porsche 911 that is all decked out in samurai gear. And that's where they were much, much happier to have the Porsche name attached to it because of how amazing cool the game trivia. Is now.
That makes sense. That's cool. That's cool. Awesome. Good one, Jen. All right. I didn't get to you either. I've got Fallout and Lord of the Rings. I think this one is more interesting and fun. Because I'm going to do Lord of the Rings, but I'm going to do, this one is from the Silmarillion. So like the old stuff, Lord. Right? This is the first age. So this isn't stuff that shows up in a movie. So that means if you haven't read through things, you may not know. So this all has to do with the first age of the world from the Silmarillion. It's all about Sauron, right? Evil bad guy, Sauron. Mm-hmm. So one, Sauron tries to steal Morgoth, the original Dark Lord's crown, and gets caught. Two, Sauron fights Finrod, Galadriel's brother, and wins. The method of combat? Song. Number three, Sauron fights a dog and loses. I can read it again if you want.
I want two to be the lie so badly.
I want it to be
because of the Hobbit movie, like you know, like random like
musical
scenes. Like
why I'm pretty happening.
Sure two is real,
right? Like Tolkien was all about he loved breaking into song.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it's true. I just want it not to be. So when Amazon makes it, so it doesn't have to make that scene, I have to watch a 20 minute song rap battle.
Oh man!
They're just dropping. It's like a 9 Mile or the Eminem battles. What was the Eminem movie? Was it 9 Mile?
Yeah. Eight Mile.
One guy's got a lute.
It's like an 8 Mile song.
Yeah,
battle. Someone drops the mic, and the crowd's like, oh, yeah.
Bunch of orcs.
All right, so I'll read them again one more time, just to make sure everyone has it. Sauron tries to steal Morgoth, the original Dark Lord's crown, and gets caught. Sauron fights Finrod, Galadriel's brother, and wins. The method of combat, song. Sauron fights a dog and loses.
Jesus.
I want number three to be true, so I'm going to say number one is the lie.
Okay. I love that we just vote on what we want reality to be.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, I want to say
one. I want to say three's the lie, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything of the Silmarillion.
Yeah, the Silmarillion lost me.
I want to say one. I want to say that he took the crown, but he didn't get caught.
Ooh.
Because right. Tom is a clever little turnip.
Yeah, exactly. Turns out he loses to a cat or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a hamster. It's the most evil hamster in the whole world.
Boo from D&D.
All right. So who's going with what? What are you guys picking? So Sergio, you said one.
Yep.
You're picking one.
I'm staying on two in principle.
Two. Jen's on one.
Three.
One.
Lotus is
I'm
three.
I'm going through there as well.
Oh, wow. Three. Okay. So you guys are all spread out. Okay. So let's go backwards. Sauron fights a dog and loses. It's true. The dog's name was Huon, and Huon was...
Good boy.
Well, so you know how Gandalf's like a Maiar, and Sauron is a Maiar? They're like these angelic beings that have been embodied. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Maiar that was embodied in a dog named Huon, and Huon shows up to save characters in one of the stories, Beren and Luthien, and he's like the best dog ever.
Actually, yeah.
And there's a standoff on a bridge where Sauron sends in werewolves, which was going to be one of my other questions. It's like werewolves are in the series, vampires are in the series. So he's known as the Lord of Werewolves at the time, and even turns himself into a werewolf, ends up in a fight with Huon and loses. So that happens. Sauron fights Finrod, Galadriel's brother, and wins. All of this is also true. The method of combat, song, also true. They sing at each other, and Finrod's like, oh yeah, you're evil because of this and this and this. And Sauron's like, oh yeah, well, what about the kinslaying, huh? And Finrod's like, oh, you got me.
Heck yeah, song fight.
Yeah, song fight. And Sauron wins the song fight. So which means number one is the lie, tries to steal Morgoth's crown and gets caught. There's nothing about him trying to steal a crown or anything. That doesn't even happen.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, all right. Well, I mean, if you want to see epic rap battles, did a Voldemort versus Sauron.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Classic. If anybody wants to know.
Classic. Awesome. All right. Well, we've gone through everybody. We've done the bonus. I haven't been keeping track of score, but I'm just going to say Ben wins. Congratulations.
Oh, good job, Ben. Damn, nice.
You did it.
It's because I have the most shows, apparently.
You win the game, Ben. Does anybody else have one that was just like absolutely crazy that you just absolutely wanted to share? Then you're just like, oh, this one's so good.
I'm trying to see here.
I've got a Bilbo one. You want a Bilbo one? Since you guys know who Bilbo is.
Who's Bilbo?
Who's Bilbo? Either that or I have a cyberpunk one that's tell me if this is fact or fiction.
All right. Do the cyberpunk one. Yeah.
V's name is either Vincent or Veronica.
Ooh.
Is that true or false?
Oh, man.
No idea.
If you're male V, you're Vincent. If you're female V, you're Veronica.
I think I remember the creators talking about how the name is simply V. It doesn't stand for anything.
Yeah, I'm going to say false. They did give them a name in the Phantom Liberty. And I can't... Was it Phantom Liberty? You actually say the name?
Not that I know.
And I can't remember which one was which.
It's V, but spelled like V-E-E.
No, it's a full name.
It's like Mike TV from... Never mind. Willy Wonka.
I got you on that one.
Sorry. So what's the truth?
It is a lie. It's either Vincent or Victoria.
Oh, so they did have a name.
Different names.
Okay, I was wrong.
And they were there from base game. You get to find them out pretty early.
Oh, no, it's Johnny who says it. That's what that was added in the DLC. Mm. That's what it was.
Mm. There's actually one I do enjoy giving people to is StarCraft. Did game who passed on the deal? Was it Games Workshop or Blizzard that passed on the working with the other one?
It was Games Workshop.
Yeah.
Because Blizzard was like, this would be a great idea. And they were like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. Games Workshop passed on that because they said, we don't see how a video game would ever be that successful. And we figured it would just bring down our brand.
Oh, my God. And now now they're just open to anybody making games with their stuff at all. It's like completely the opposite.
They basically signed away all the rights in doing that.
Oh, I have here's a good
one. I'd much rather nothing. All right.
Tom might know this one. I don't know. Andrzej Sapkowski signed off with the Witcher games in royalties. Is it true or false?
Please be false.
I actually know this one.
Okay.
I'm sure it's true because it just sounds tragic.
So heartbreaking.
So it's false. He gave the game rights to CDPR for equivalent to $10,000 at the time of before Witcher 1. And then, you know, the blew up of the Witcher games. He re-signed a deal back in 2021 or 2022 to get royalties, and CDPR back paid him all the royalties he would have gotten from the game. Yeah, no, they back paid him, and like, this is your world. Like, here you go.
It was funny for them.
Because they tried to persuade him like five times.
That was the thing that I knew about, was that they kept trying to get him. They were like, you sure you don't want to renegotiate? And he was like, no, games are stupid. And it's just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, and eventually it got to the point where it was like, you know, you guys should be paying me more. And they're like, we've been trying.
like Witcher 3 was out, and the success of Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Like, he comes to them and is like, I think I owe more. He's like, yeah, here's your money.
That's good.
There was StarCraft 1 had a tournament where first place was like $5,000, second place was $500, and third place was one Bitcoin.
Oh, jeez. Holy crap.
Yes.
Oh, that's worth so much money.
Not us hold that Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's like, so that person is either really rich or really mad at themselves. One of those two.
Yeah. Holy crap. Hey, I've got another crazy old Lord of the Rings one I can throw out here. This is about the different ages of the world. Okay. So, the first, number one, the War of Wrath is the name of the conflict that ended the first age of Middle Earth, which sank about one half of Middle Earth below the ocean. Two, the entire world was changed from flat to round at the end of the Second Age, well within recorded history. Three, by the end of the Third Age, the One Ring was destroyed and over half the population of Middle-earth died in the conflict. These are all like momentous huge things, right?
Yeah. I want to say it's number one.
So number one, the War of Wrath ended the first age of Middle Earth and sank about half of Middle Earth below the ocean. That was number one. Number two.
That feels like Tolkien. Yeah.
All right. Number two
flat
again.
To round doesn't. Yeah, only because yeah, it feels I'm, like because that feels like I that feel. Feels like something like you like someone older than like, the younger than Tolkien, whatever it's called, like would have done. That's like
meh. Yeah, I feel like that's the one.
Yeah,
that's the mm-hmm. one. What about the rest of you?
I don't think it was half the population.
You're talking about number three.
Yeah.
So the One Ring was destroyed, and over half the population of Middle Earth died in the conflict. So Jen's on three. You guys are on two. Sergio, mm-hmm. Sergio's got.
I think it's three. I don't think it's half the population.
Ben, do you have one? What do you think?
I'll go with two.
Two? All right. So one is true. It did half of the continent is gone. So if you look at the map from the first age, the stuff that is in the second age is on the very far right side of the map. And there's a line of mountains called the Blue Mountains, which is mm-hmm. barely part of the very far western side of the third age. So that is true. Number two also is true. The world originally was flat, and because the Numenoreans got all uppity and tried to sail to the land of the Valar, the angelic beings who look over the earth, because they were convinced by Sauron to do so, and they became all high and mighty, the Valar were like, nope, the world is round now, and Valinor is now separate from the planet. That actually happened.
Sure.
So number three is right. It wasn't half the population. It probably wasn't even near half. I mean, it was a big battle and lots of conflicts and lots of people were attacked in places other than what you see in the movie and the books, but it wasn't half the population that died. So good one. You got it.
It's fun.
Nice. Well, fun stuff, guys. This has been super fun.
This is great.
I hope everyone listening had as much fun as we did, because this is always fun to hear. That's part of the fun of the lore, right? Is like right. The weird and wacky stuff that you're like, wait, that's a thing? And then there's some justification that makes it feel like, okay, no, that is a thing. Okay, that's cool. So very, very cool stuff. Let's go back through and you guys can share again who you are and what shows you have. So mm-hmm. if people want to check out your stuff, they can do so. Ben?
Yeah, so again, I am Brandon, or also known as Ben of Temeria. I host the Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Gundam Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast.
Awesome. Congratulations again on winning.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
Good job, Ben.
Sheer force.
Lotus.
I'm Lotus of Doom. You can find me on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast with Tom, or our other show, which is Tales of Tamriel, which, again, same topic of Elder Scrolls, except it's more news-based, and we kind of discuss all of the games in kind of a roundtable format. It's not so much about teaching you anything, as we try to do in Lorecast. It's more about just discussing the games, weird parts of the games, just community interaction and all that stuff. So, if Elder Scrolls is your thing, you're welcome to check out any of our stuff.
Awesome. Sergio?
Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. Every week we're dropping some D&D lore. Also, the co-host of the upcoming 616 Files, where myself and the host Sean Hamill, author of A Cosmology of Monsters, The Dissonance, the upcoming alien novel Perfect Organisms, will be diving into the history of the Marvel Comics universe.
Very cool. Exciting. Exciting stuff.
Lisa, wow,
John,
you like stuff with lots of information. Wow,
I don't want to have to dig for lore. I just want it available.
Well,
to
I like the idea that like, well, what if I'm a Highlander and therefore I have to keep doing these casts for the rest of my life?
I don't know. I haven't died yet.
Yes,
so I'm not sure that I can.
you just want to hit the
John
random
Marzotti.
Button.
I host the 40K Lorecast and the History of 40K on Warhammer. I only have two. Feel blame.
Hey, no, that's awesome. That's cool stuff. I was making a joke while you were talking. His name's John, if everyone heard. Yeah. I was gonna say Serge just wants to hit the random button on like a wiki page and be like, oh, that's a good topic.
And as long as
that's what we do at the end of the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, is at the end of the show I go, okay, let's hit the random button on the wiki and see what we get. Oh, this piece of paper on this location in this game.
Yeah, they get real weird.
It's real weird, but it's always fun. John, thank you for joining us. And yeah, definitely go check out the 40K stuff that he's doing. Jen, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Yes, I am Genesis, and I have three separate shows, the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. The Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk. And the Mass Effect Lorecast, where we explore everything under the stars in the Mass Effect universe.
Awesome stuff. And then, of course, I'm Tom. From Robots Radio. Why am I even saying that? That's why you guys are listening. From the
from where you are right
from
now.
Where I am right now, you're listening to a Robots Radio show, like all of these shows. I do the Fallout Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast, and the Elder Scrolls Lorecast with Lotus. So if you're into any of that stuff or want to know more about it, go check it out. You can find all of our shows on whatever you're listening to this on. So just open up your app and type in a show and you'll find it. Chances are, in fact, chances are most of these, if you just search the name or even the topic of the IP, our shows rank really, really well. So you'll find them real easy. Go check out some cool stuff, and we'll be back with regular shows in whatever feed you're listening to in the future. Thanks for being here, everybody. This is super fun. We're going to put together one of these again probably in the next 3 months or so. So look forward to that. And let us know if you enjoyed this format and you like what we're doing here. We'd love to hear your feedback. Join us on the Discord, or chime in wherever how to get a hold of each of us and our social medias and things like that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.